Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, the podcast for serious lacrosse players and their supporters to help further their development and navigate their way throughout their lacrosse careers. And now, here are your hosts, New England Lacrosse Journal's Kyle Devitt and Jack Piatelli.
Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt, and I'm back in the studio with Jack Piatelli, my friend, my mentor. How are we doing?
Doing well. Fantastic. It's been too long since we've been back. Just been a week. So I know you're all tanned up. You were at the beach this weekend. It's too bad you don't have that, you know, Italian blood in you, because it looks like you got pretty burnt. You look like a lobster. Good thing we don't have video on this today.
Yeah, it's good. We have Mike Fraoli, the head coach at Moses Brown School, on here as our guest today, joining us via Zoom. Coach, how we doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you both for having me. This is awesome.
So you like how I dodged the I'm burned and look like a lobster because I'm Irish?
Yes, reference? I do like that.
That's good. That's good. Coach, you guys are kind of known in Rhode Island as one of the better teams. And this year, you know, you finished ranked number two in the state. How do you kind of see your role at Moses Brown and the boys lacrosse program as representing the state of Rhode Island?
Great question. I mean, you know, our school has just had a huge long tradition of lacrosse, not only in Rhode Island, but throughout New England. So we're very proud of that. And I'm sure we'll get into maybe some of the history here in the podcast, the great players that we've had come through the program. But yeah, I mean, we've had a good run here recently. You know, LaSalle is the top ranked program, and we've been chasing them for many years here now. But our role is just as ambassadors to the sport and stewards to the sport. And we try to just put the best team we can out on the field and do the right thing by the sport and by the state.
Coach, you grew up in one of the hotbeds of lacrosse, Maryland. You went to Annapolis High School, had a great career there, St. Mary's College of Maryland. What brought you to the Ocean State? Didn't you want to stay in the hotbed of lacrosse down in Maryland?
Yeah, I love it down there. I still consider it my number one state. Rhode Island's my second favorite state. In a couple of years, I'll be up in Rhode Island as long as I was down in Maryland. So that's a little frightening for me. But the lacrosse job, what brought me to Rhode Island was working at Brown University as an assistant coach there. And did that for 5 years and met my now wife back in 2002. And she's a native Rhode Islander, and we stayed here. We made deep roots here in Rhode Island.
Tell me a little bit about your experience as an assistant coach at Brown and what it was like to coach at that level and the transition for you to, you know, get back and coach at the high school level.
Yeah. Brown was fantastic. You know, I think even before that, when I graduated St. Mary's in 97, my first job was at Dartmouth College, where that's where I met you, Jack. You were our Brine rep back in the day with Timmy Nelson, and met you in the fall of 97, and coached a year at Dartmouth, and then 2 years at Hartwick College with Bill Bajornis. And then got the job at Brown with Scott Nelson, you know, Timmy's brother. And it was a fantastic experience. Was here for 5 years, and you know, just was very fortunate to coach so many fantastic players, the Mike Levins of the world, the Chaz Woodsons of the world. Just fantastic relationships that were built there, and really learned a ton about the game and how to coach. So 8 years of college coaching, and I got out of coaching for a couple of years and actually went to work at a bank, and that was not a great fit, you know, sitting at a cubicle for 8 to 10 hours a day, hammering the phones, and had an opportunity to change careers and and an opportunity to coach at Moses Brown as an assistant for a couple of years with Peter Sheehan. I was very grateful for that opportunity. And I'm actually in my 15th season now at Moses Brown. So two as an assistant and 13 as a head coach.
Coach, you just rattled off a name that is one of my favorite people in lacrosse, Chaz Woodson. I need your best Chaz Woodson story.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, his email, you know, when we were recruiting him is I am too smooth. Which was just a fantastic email. You know, we found Chaz down at the Tilt tournament. It was actually Jim Finley, our other assistant coach. And he's sitting there, he's waiting for the tournament to start up. And Chaz was at Blue Ridge High School. And, you know, here comes Chaz slightly late to the game. And he basically jumps over the fence to get onto the field. Coach Finley was like, who in the world is that athlete? You know? So fast forward to a few years later, and he's at Brown, and I love playing pickup basketball with him. My favorite thing to do is just to throw him alley-oops, you know, because he'd just hammer him down. And Chaz was just a special, special athlete. You know, he could jump over the crease, you know, land on the other side, and the refs would have to determine whether he – you know, jumped into the crease, over the crease, over the goal. It was just amazing to watch him play. But as good of a lacrosse player as he was and is, he's even more of a fantastic person. He's making a real difference out there in the world.
And now the head coach at Hampton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Incredible. Yeah. Which is incredible.
We text back and forth every once in a while. I was happy to stay in touch with him.
Yeah. His dad as well. I did a couple camps at Brown, and his dad is quite. You see where Chaz gets it. It's pretty
big. Big Ed Woodson. Yeah, we worked a lot of Brown camps together. He's awesome. Great guy.
It always seems like Brown is never short on like story guys, you know. And I think, and I mean that in the best way, right? Like I know a couple alums. I've connected with them covering pro and other things that I've done, and. I think the one thing that Brown is known for now is they always produce an incredible goalie. It feels like a goalie plays for 4 years, and by the time he's a senior, he's an All-American just because, you know, it's like goalie you. You know, totally. Did you experience that as early when you were playing? Because Levin was an excellent goalie as well.
Levin was fantastic. He's probably the best player I've ever coached. He was excellent, you know. Peter Lasagna's staff had recruited him and got him to come. And, you know, it was Barrett Dixon there. And then Mike took over for, you know, his sophomore through senior years. And there were other goalies there that were fantastic too, whether it was Nick Gentilesco or Chandler Clark. And we had recruited Jordan Burke, who went on to be, you know, two-time Ivy League player of the year. So you're spot on. There's a lot of characters that have come through Brown, and we can all name the names. And then there's been some fantastic players, and the goalies are right there at the top.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's a Brown thing, or is that a program thing for men's lacrosse?
Don't the weirdest people just play goalie?
Yes. I think it's fair too to say that Brown is quote unquote the weirdest Ivy. Is that
there
wrong?
You go. No? There's got to be a correlation there somewhere, but. But Mike Levin, I mean, when you meet Mike Levin, you know, he would probably be on the non-weird spectrum, right? But
I would think so, considering I knew Jordan Burke as well. Yeah, I would exactly. I would characterize them as opposite humans.
Correct.
So
either way, we don't have it pegged yet. So,
Mike, you talked a little bit about the great experiences of some of the players you were able to coach at Brown. Tell us a little bit about some of the great players that you've coached at Moses Brown and the influence they've had on the program at Moses Brown.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those players that have come through too, Jack, you know. I don't know if I should go back to front or front to back, but you know, one of the best players I had the opportunity to coach was Ian DeVoe, who was an 09 graduate who went on to play at Colby and was a NESCAC player of the year there during his senior year, first team All-American. So he was fantastic. you know, Nick Capalbo, who's, I know, a friend of yours as well, Jack, great goalie who went up to Siena. There's a lot of young men, the Perry boys, really. I know, Jack, they came through your program with Piatelli Lacrosse, and they were freshmen this year at the college level. Joseph went to RPI and was rookie of the year in that league and did a really nice job in goal. And then Andrew, his twin brother, a freshman at Harvard this year, who started for them and had a fantastic season. So there's been a lot of really good players to come through the program. We've since 09, we've had 40 players go off and play college lacrosse at the D3 and D1 and D2 and club level. So we're real proud of that as well.
Coach, who are some of your current guys that are committed and graduating this season that are going on to play next year?
Yeah, not actually, we have 10 seniors and many of them could have played college lacrosse at some level. Some are going to graduate to just pursue other things, you know, really high academic schools or other interests that they have. We've got some, I think, some future college lacrosse players in our younger classes. Peter Bonanno is one of our best players. He's a junior attackman and comes from a great lacrosse family. His father, Bernie, was a great player at Moses Brown and then across the street at Brown University. My sister is currently at Princeton, Kari. She's a fantastic player. And so I think Pete has really got a great future ahead of him in terms of the sport. We've got some other players, I think, that'll go on to play. Owen O'Farrell is an attackman. Chase Whiteman's an attackman. Hank Alessandro, Liam O'Malley. Yeah, so we've got some really, really good players. So I think the future's bright for them down the road.
Coach, you've also worked a little bit in the club space. How have you navigated that as a coach at Moses Brown?
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't done that in a few years now. So I worked with Lachesis many years ago, and that was fantastic. I have a good relationship with Dave Evans and Sean Morris and Dan Chouinard. So those guys that asked me to coach, and I did that, and that was great. I mean, just learning from the other coaches and the intensity of the program. You know, I've talked with Jack quite a bit and helped him out from time to time with some stuff with Piatelli lacrosse, and that's been a lot of fun. In our program at Moses Brown, we really have young men that come from all different clubs, you know, whether it's Piatelli or Lachesis or the Clams. So we're just happy that those boys are out there playing and they're taking the sport seriously and working on their games, because the better they do there year round in the fall and the winter, in the summer, it helps our program at Moses Brown in the spring. So a lot of the guys do the indoor leagues too. I know 3D does an indoor league up in Wellesley that they play in, which is fantastic. So we encourage it all and we welcome it.
Coach, one of the things that's kind of come up when we've talked to high school and club coaches is, you know, the fairly new phenomenon of player burnout. And you know, we had the subs coach on here a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about should there be a pitch count for kids in the summer. You know, I mean, we have it on for other sports. You know, what's that look like for lacrosse? Do you have a take on that at all?
I do I think you're seeing more and more of that. You really are. We've witnessed it in our own program, and we've got to do something about it. You know, I'm a bit of a traditional guy, and I'm very much an advocate of multi-sport athletes. You know, if you've heard Chris Rotelli, the best player really to ever come through Moses Brown in the state of Rhode Island. I mean, I've heard him on some podcasts, and he talked about multiple sports. I mean, he was a soccer, squash, surfing, you name it. He was doing it, you know? So I really am an advocate of multi-sport. And it's gotten pretty crazy. You know, it's gotten pretty crazy how much these kids are playing. So I think they've just got to keep in mind to have fun. You know, the pickup stuff I've heard some of your other coaches on your podcast talking about three by and four by and mixing in girls lacrosse players. And I think that's real important too. Just rolling the balls out there. Like we all grew up playing pickup basketball, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of structure to it. You showed up and you played and you learned a lot about playing just from doing that. So good question. I don't have a great answer to that, Kyle, but I do see it. There's quite a bit of fatigue out there for these kids.
Well, I think too, Coach, the problem with sports today is the parents and the players who dream of playing at the Division I level, and they're all trying to stay up with the Joneses. And, you know, the players that are focused on one sport, let's say about lacrosse year round, have a choice not to go to this clinic or get one-on-one training here or not play in this tournament, or they don't have to go to everything to be a good lacrosse player or to be a good football player, hockey player. They don't have to do every single thing that's available to them because it's impossible. And that's one of the reasons why they're getting burnt out, is because anytime they see an opportunity to go to a recruiting camp or a training camp or a shooting clinic or a face-off clinic, they feel the need, they have to go. But you're better off playing another sport, taking some time off, because at the end, you will become a better lacrosse player for playing the other sports and taking a break from just your focus on lacrosse.
Agree with you 100%, Jack. I absolutely agree with you. And look, one of the first things you said was keeping up with the Joneses, right? I think there's a lot to it. And it's a lot of the parents pushing the kids too. Do the kids even want to be there? You know, that's a big question as well. So it's hard to navigate all of that for sure. But you do have to develop your skills. But I'm a huge believer in just being well-rounded. And like you said, being an excellent basketball player or the concepts you can take from football or lacrosse, they're going to help make you, football or soccer, going to help make you a better lacrosse player. And I think that's so, so important.
And I truly believe, you know, you tell your players all the time, and most coaches, obviously the coaches who have great experience like you do, and all coaches will tell the players to go, you know, it's a great thing about lacrosse. You can have a goal in the backyard. You can have a rebound in the backyard. You can find a wall to play, you know, to develop your stick skills. And that's really, players are not spending enough time on the lax walls. They're spending more time going to these other, you know, clinics and so on and so forth. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to develop your skills, the best way to do it is to do it on your own time. And that really differentiates the players who want it, really want it, and the players who are just showing up.
Yeah, for sure. And we're big believers in just playing, you know, the wall ball and the shooting is certainly important. But we'd love to see more kids out there, just like I said, playing with each other, with equipment, without equipment, with girls, with boys mixed in, with older kids, with younger kids, and just really getting up and down and playing the game. That's very important. I will say too, in a small school like ours, we have 400 kids in the upper school, 200 boys, 200 girls. You can provide a ton of value in a great experience for not only yourself, but your teammates. If you try a sport like lacrosse, we've had kids throughout the years who are maybe hockey first kids or football first kids that come out and play lacrosse in their senior year or maybe their junior and senior year. And they give it a try and they end up really loving it. And they wish they had done it all 4 years, or they wish they had gravitated towards the game a little bit earlier. So I think you can help your classmates out by trying other sports and providing depth, especially at a small school like ours, if you just give it a shot and come out and have some fun.
New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal will return after this message.
This fall, Quincy College in Quincy, Massachusetts drops the puck on its first ever hockey season in the City of Presidents, just 10 minutes from Boston. The Granite, as they're known, will play in the CHF Collegiate Hockey Federation against Babson, Mass Maritime, Nichols, Sacred Heart, and D3 programs at UNH and Farmingdale State in New York. The Quincy College Granite will be well coached. Kyle Robertson has been coaching regional junior teams for 20 years, and over 100 of his players have gone on to NCAA programs. Kyle's assistant is Matt Gibbons, who's been coaching at North Quincy High for 12 years and won three titles there. 3 years ago, he was the MIAA Coach of the Year. And as far as the educational part, Quincy College has a lot to offer. 37 different two-year degrees, and it's super affordable. There's even a new four-year business management degree that costs much less than other four-year schools. Want to make some history in a first-year hockey program? Now's your chance. Get more info at quincycollege.edu/hockey. Are you serious about playing your sport in college? Do you need a flexible education that allows you to maintain your practice and competition schedules while also preparing you to succeed at the next level? You should check out the University of Nebraska High School. UNHS is accredited and offers more than 100 online courses, including NCAA-approved courses to protect your academic eligibility. Students could earn a UNHS diploma or take a single course for transfer credit. Courses are college prep, self-paced, and available 24/7, 365. Enroll anytime and take up to a year to complete a course. Visit highschool.nebraska.edu today.
Looking to keep up with all the latest news and information on New England lacrosse? New England Lacrosse Journal and LaxJournal.com are the premier resources for information and inspiration on the New England lacrosse scene. Have every issue of New England Lacrosse Journal, the magazine, delivered to your home or office. And don't forget to stay in the game every day with a digital subscription to LaxJournal.com to receive daily digital lacrosse coverage on club lacrosse, college commits, prep and high school, Division I, II, and III colleges, showcases, rankings, and much more. Get in the game and behind the scenes now by logging on to LaxJournal.com. Just click on the subscribe button and start the subscription that is right for you today. New England Lacrosse Journal is a Siemens Media publication. Siemens Media. Inspiring. Informative. Insightful.
Let me present to you a scenario I'm currently dealing with. You know, I coach up in central northern New Hampshire, and it's a very small school. We don't have a ton of kids going on to play college ball, but we have a couple that have a lot of potential, right? My best player is a junior right now. He's a football guy, right? He's a football player. He's a defenseman for lacrosse. And he told me last week, "Coach, I think I'm going to skip fall and like try to play some club as a senior instead of doing football." And I said, "Well, why are you going to do that?" And he's like, "Well, I always get injured playing football." I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to be the one to tell you not to play football because of that." Right. And he kind of looked at me like, "Why?" I was like, "Cause do you like football?" And he's like, "Yeah, football's great." I'm like, "Well, don't do it cause you think something bad's going to happen. You know, don't not do it because you think that's what's going to happen, right? That's not predetermined. You know, you should do the thing that makes you happy." And he's like, "Well, I want to get recruited." I'm like, "We got time. You got time, right? Like, you're a junior now. You got time. You don't have to give up the things that you love to play." But the other side of me that works in lacrosse is like, well, he will get more exposure if he goes to fall tournaments because he's not on a club team right now. He will get more exposure in the fall. So I don't really know what to tell him other than I will not tell you to not play football. Like, that's just my default. What is your, I guess, like, what's your advice for me in that situation next time you ask me the question? Cause I kind of, I've been kind of just non-committally being like, you should do what you want to do.
Yeah. I'd actually ask, can he do both? Is that a possibility?
Well, so it's funny. New Hampshire has a thing where this is actually an NHIA rule. You can't miss practice or games to play another sport in New Hampshire, or you get suspended, which I've found out is not a thing anywhere else. And I only knew it this year from coach. I didn't even know it last year when I was coaching, but I knew it this year when we had a couple hockey kids that might have done a a tournament, and they just, well, they're like, coach, yeah, we can't go. I'm like, why? I'm like, well, we'd miss this practice. And, you know, if, you know, we get suspended. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I asked the AD and he told me, and that's a rule. You know, you can't miss in season stuff. So I wish everywhere else had that rule, but I'm sure he could do like a showcase or two and it wouldn't be a problem, you know, like a Sunday showcase, Saturday showcase, but otherwise, you know,
it depends when the football season ends, because I know there have been showcases late November, early December as well that he could, you know, attend after the football season as well, as you probably take a look at. But coach, tell us a little bit about your team this year. Your out of conference schedule was very, very competitive. I like the fact that you go out of state and, you know, play the best of the best.
Yeah, we do that, Jack, and we're proud of that, and it provides a great experience for the players on our team. You know, we played Middlesex and Pingree and Xavarian, Pomfret, Dexter, St. George's this year. And we historically play that type of out of league schedule. This year, we took our lumps. You know, a few of those games could have gone either way. We had some 1 and 2 goal losses against some of those teams and a few others that wasn't even close. But we're very proud of that. We try to play as tough a schedule as we possibly can. In league, we've had some success in the state. We did lose to LaSalle, but we've won all our other games, and we're in a good position here heading into the playoffs, which start next week. So overall, it's been a really good year. It's been a great experience. Knock on wood, we've remained healthy, and we're excited for the next couple of weeks.
Let's talk about Xavarian. I know the coach there fairly well. And that's one of the better teams that you guys played. And you know, you still got to double digits on them. And they have a fair amount of Division I players coming into that program and out of that program producing them. How do you schedule the out-of-conference games? How does that go for you?
The scheduling piece is it's a lot of relationships, you know, just relationships over the years and reaching out to teams, or they reach out to us to just schedule the game. So it's really just a lot of emails and phone calls that take place usually over the fall, you know, looking ahead to the spring. We've been playing St. George's and Dexter and Pomfret forever. You know, there's some other schools in there too, but Xavarian was fantastic. I mean, they had a couple of players there that we just could not keep up with. I wish we would have gone to some zone defense earlier than we did. We had a tough day at the faceoff X and in goal as well, but they have a really nice team. Midi and attackman there that there's just fast as lightning.
Yeah, Will Pessinelli is no joke.
Yeah.
He's the midi. He's the midi that's going to be you. He's pretty incredible. I've watched him play all summer. It's 2023.
He's fantastic.
You mentioned that, you know, you have this kind of 1-2 kind of relationship with you guys and LaSalle. How does that translate to the, how do the kids handle that? What's their position on playing them as the rival all the time?
They embrace it. They definitely embrace it. You know, it's we're right in the same, we're right in the same city, right, of Providence. We're only a couple of miles apart from each other. They've put together a really nice program over there. And you know, I think there's pressure on both sides. You know, good athletic pressure, right? They've been on a run, and I know that they don't want to lose. I think they're the 8 or 9 time defending state champions, and our guys have come so close over the years. You know, we've had 2 goal game losses, we've had 1 goal losses. Last year was a 1 goal. 2019 was a 1 goal loss. 2018 was a 2 goal loss, and we've had some times where we've been blown out by them too. But the rivalry is healthy. It's usually the best game in the state every year when we play in the regular season, and if we're fortunate enough to play in the state championship versus each other. So I'd say overall the kids really embrace it, and they value that experience. We pack the stadium when it's LaSalle Moses Brown.
Coach, since 2011, Henricken won it in 2011. Moses Brown and LaSalle have been in the state championship game. How do you think it feels for all these other schools in the state not having a chance to play in that game for the last 10, 11 years?
probably doesn't feel great, Jack. You know, it doesn't. Now we're Division One, and this year there's 9 teams in Division One, which is a little bigger than it's been historically. There's, I believe, 36 high school programs that play boys lacrosse in the state. So in D2 and D3 and D4, there are some other teams that get to experience that championship. You know, it's not a perfect setup. The league has done a really good job over the years. The sport has grown. We've gotten better and better. I would love to see at some point maybe the private schools play just the private schools and the public schools play the public schools, because we do get so many kids from all the different towns throughout Rhode Island, whether it's Barrington, East Greenwich, Cumberland. So, you know, Moses Brown, LaSalle, Hendricken, we all pull from kids all over the state. And which means that they leave those local high schools, you know, and sometimes their teams are not as good because of that. So I'd love to see some growth and some change down the road. You know, it'd make the sport better in the state overall for everyone.
What's your proposal for doing that, for having a kind of private tournament?
Continue to have the conversations, Kyle, you know, a lot of those conversations take place at a higher level than what my pay grade is. So all I can do is, give my opinion to our AD, and our AD is in touch with the sport committee and the Interscholastic League, and they do a great job of listening. So I'm sure at some point down the road, we'll find the best path to make it better and better for every school and every team in the state.
Coach, you've been at Moses Brown now, you said, for 15 years, 2 as an assistant, 13 as a head coach. What is the key to longevity coaching at one program for that long?
Consistency, I think. I think it's consistency. I think it's, we try our best to provide a great experience for every student athlete that comes through there. We treat them fairly. I think that's it, you know, the love of the school, love of the game, love of the players that we get to coach. And I hope that resonates. I hope they leave Moses Brown lacrosse program looking back and reflecting positively on the experience that they've had. And then that just resonates throughout their life, and the older players bringing the younger players along, and I don't know. It's just a great place to be. I don't have any sons, you know. I have 2 daughters. They don't go to Moses Brown. They may someday. So I'm just there because I love the school. I love the sport. I love the players that I get to coach. I've been really fortunate to coach a lot of fantastic young men at the school. I really have. You know, I hear people talk about disciplinary issues and this and that. Most of the kids that we get they're fantastic humans by the time we get them, and we're just trying to make them a little better, teach them a little bit about life through lacrosse, and so that they can go out and make the world a better place. And I've been really fortunate to be there for 15 years. I hope I can continue to keep it going.
Coach, as a head coach at Moses Brown, are you known as a delegated? Do you like to delegate your offense schemes and defensive schemes to your assistant coaches, or do you tend to rein things in and have the final say in all of the schemes on the offensive side and defensive side? And talk a little bit about, you know, what your philosophy is on offense and what you like to do and the defensive side.
I'd hope that we'd be recognized as a very collaborative staff. You know, I don't see myself as the final say on a lot of things. Depends on who we have for assistance. And we've been very fortunate to have some tremendous assistance throughout the years. Chad Smith has been an assistant for us, the Syracuse great, Adam Pascal. We've got a young man now who's a super talented coach, Dan Calora, who played in a national championship for Gettysburg. And we've really just had a great list of assistant coaches. And we collaborate, we work together. There's different years where I'm on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball. I'd say most recently, I've listened to some of your other podcasts, and we talked about Jamie Monroe and the JM3 concepts. And Jamie's a Moses Brown alum, He's went into the Hall of Fame last year, him and his brother, Neil, and Jamie and I are close. And we talk just about every week. And we've really adopted a lot of the philosophies that Jamie has come up with over the years. So we very much run a principles-based defense and a principles-based offense that we've been learning over the past couple of years that have shown us some success. So that's kind of the direction we're going in these days, Jack.
Coach, I think you're one of the only Rhode Island people we've had. I guess you can call that, because now I think you said before that as of next year, the next 2 years, you're going to be in Rhode Island as long as you've been in Baltimore, correct? Or in Maryland?
Annapolis, yeah, correct. When I hit 50, I'll be 47 in June. When I hit 50, it'll be 25 years as an Annapolis-based person and 25 years in Rhode Island. So
one of the things that's very intriguing to me about the state of Rhode Island, there's three Division I programs. There's Providence, Bryant, and Brown. And then you have states all around that don't have that many. I mean, I'm from New Hampshire. We have one. Do any of those schools kind of look at you guys first because you're local, or do you kind of seek them out and try to get attention from those recruiters?
Yeah, it's an easy trip for them, right? with Brown, they can throw a football over, you know, to our field. So, I know those guys a little bit. Coach Sveck, actually, we came up together. He went to Broadneck High School. I went to Annapolis. His dad was actually the band teacher at Annapolis High School. So we're a couple of years apart, but he's come over and helped work our camps throughout the years. He's a fantastic guy. So probably the closest with him. And, I had a relationship with Coach Gabrielli at PC. And then Coach Pressler and I have had some interaction over the years. We've got a close mutual friend in Paul Hooper, another former assistant at Brown University and one of the all-time greats in the sport. So it's awesome to have those schools. It's great. We always encourage our players to go watch the games. There's so many great games coming to town. So our players are constantly across the street at Brown. They're at PC, they're at Bryant watching lacrosse games. And we've had some kids throughout the years that have looked at all those programs. There's a young man over at Brown right now. He's a fantastic lacrosse player for us a couple of years ago, but he's a football first kid. I just saw him at the Brown UVA game. I think he should be on the lacrosse field at Brown University, but he's focusing on football there. But we've had their coaches have recruited on our campus quite a bit throughout the years. It's a good relationship.
Yeah. And I'd be remiss if I excluded, cause I'm a D3 guy. Johnson & Wales is the newest program that's there, as well as Roger Williams and Salve as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. It's quite a like list, right? Like if you zoom out, you're looking at Rhode Island on a map and you zoom out, you're like, oh, look at all these programs. You mentioned Rhode Island has several different divisions. I mean, you have to have an X number of teams to do that. What is the key to developing the talent to go to those schools in Rhode Island? Because it is a very small place. And the fact that there's, these kind of big fishes swimming around there. How do you see that playing out over the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think they'll continue to, there are kids. I mean, you look at LeJon Jones, Evan McGreen, some kids that have played at LaSalle that went either to Bryant or to PC. Bryant and PC have gotten a lot of the local kids for sure. So I think it'll continue to grow. I think development in the sport, in the state, it comes down to what it always comes down to, right? Coaching and officiating, there's never a lack of need for either one of those. There's some really good youth coaches in Rhode Island, and a lot of their background and their upbringing comes from somewhere else. Maybe they grew up in Maryland or New York or one of the traditional hotbeds, and they're bringing their talents to Rhode Island to coach their kids, So, and then just the need for officials, the global labor crisis has hit just about everywhere, including officials. Every conversation you have with officials, they can't get them, And I don't know if that's partially because they take so much abuse from the sidelines and the parents and the teams and stuff and the spectators. So be nice to the officials out there. You know, we need them. We need officials. We need coaches. And that's really how the sport is going to continue to grow, especially in a state like Rhode Island.
Yeah, I'm not really allowed to talk about officials, but I got to tell you that if you're not an ancient human being, please become an official. If you have any desire and you can run up and down the field and you're not 70 years old, please become an official and also move to New Hampshire.
100%. How about Marty Kelly? You know, you mentioned Roger Williams. He was there for 20 years, one of the all-time great lacrosse players and, you know, Division III. And he was coached there for 20 years. He reffed two of our games this year, which was fantastic. He did a great job.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need more guys like Marty to come back into the game who understand it and are well-respected, and they're not going to take any flack from the coaches or the fans on the sideline. And I saw a stat reading just the other day. Officials are down 50% this year. Desperate for officials. It's great for the young players. Even if you're in high school, you get an opportunity to officiate youth games. College players can actually officiate during the summer during tournaments, and it's really a great way to learn the game and better understand the game as an official. And we just got to keep the coaches and the parents on the sidelines to watch the game, and no need to get on the officials. You know, without the officials, we don't have a game, and everyone's going to make a mistake. Everyone's going to make a mistake out in the field. The game is full of mistakes. The coaches make mistakes, but nobody's yelling at them, right? The parents get out of control, and nobody's yelling at them, but we're allowed to yell at the officials, and it's not fair, and I'm guilty of it too. But the older I get, the greater appreciation I have for the officials, and we need to find a way to get more people with the white and black stripes on, for sure.
More mentoring programs too, and development programs, right, Jack? Like you're alluding to there. It's I see that in my daughter's youth games. You know, you'll have one or two officials, and then a young person, maybe they're in high school, that are shadowing that official to learn the game. And I think we need to do more and more of that too to bring them along.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other point too is, you know, I had kids, I've coached kids, and they don't want to be coaches. And I found out they came back, they graduated, and they're like, oh yeah, we're refs. I'm like, you're refs? Where? They're like, oh, we only do youth because no one yells at us in the youth. So I think to Jack's point, you really have to, parents, if you're listening, man, you really got to kind of lay off the officials. And I'm a coach, and the most I yell, but I always yell, what was the call? Why? And that's it. I know, and timeout when I'm not supposed to. So those are kind of I actually have to operate within those because they wouldn't hire me unless I said I would only do those things.
The other thing I like to say, club games, tournaments, right? It's not life or death. When the coaches are there watching, they don't even know the score. They could care less what the score is, whether you're winning or losing. They're just there to watch the game, compete, play hard, you know, have fun, leave everybody alone. It's a lacrosse game.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Jack. It's gotten nuts. It's gotten crazy. It's gotten out of hand. It really has.
One of the other things you mentioned early on is that you kind of left the sport after being at Brown and then came back to it. I think that's actually really healthy. And it's one of the things that I wish someone told me I could do, because I think a lot of people get into working in a sport and they're like, okay, this is it. This is my thing. I have to do this. I have to do this. And it's okay to leave and come back, which, like, if I get a chance to talk to someone that's done that, I really want to know, like, what made you leave and what made you come back?
Great question, Kyle. Thank you. You know, I had been at Brown for 5 years, and I knew my time there was up, and I had learned so much from Scott Nelson, and we had seen the first class that we had recruited graduate, and I looked at some other spots. I contemplated going up to Cornell, where Jack's boys are. He's wearing the big C there right now, so. Yeah. I had had some conversations to potentially go there, Hobart, I had taken a look at the Holy Cross head coaching job, and I was just in a different, you know, time in my life. I'd met, like I said, now my wife, and we were ready to, you know, get married, buy the house, have the kids, do that whole thing. So I just kind of took my life in a different direction, and I was happy that I did it. I worked at a bank for 2 years and met some fantastic people there and learned about an industry that I normally would not have learned about, you know, but I missed coaching. I realized that wasn't the right fit for me. So I had another opportunity in business and I ended up seizing that and it allowed me to get back into coaching. And like I said, Peter Sheehan had reached out and wanted me to come and help out as an assistant. And his son was on the team at that point and went on to play at Bowdoin. And when his son Stuart graduated, you know, Pete left as well and I became the head coach. So that reset was really good. I missed the sport. I missed coaching. And I'd say that the reset that we had in 2020, losing that season with COVID, was another valuable reset to just not take anything for granted, you know, not take the seasons that we have for granted and value and embrace every second that we have, because you never know when they're going to be taken away from you. So those were two good resets that I've had in my coaching career that I'm grateful for.
That's a throwback. Pete Sheehan, coach, the great UNH goalie, Division I goalie, when they had a program, and he's actually a member at Point Judith Golf Club. And I had an opportunity to play golf with him once. I've got to reach out to him because I'm ready to play that course again. But anyways, coach, great pleasure having you. Thanks so much for joining Kyle and I today. And really, it's nice to catch up with you. Best the rest of the way. And I'm sure I'll see you at the championship game.
Absolutely. Kyle, Jack, thank you so much. Really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, love learning about Rhode Island a little bit more. I love Providence. Providence is a great city.
Great beaches.
I know you love it down there, but Providence is a great city.
It is.
I love Providence.
Some of the best food you'll ever have. The restaurants, the food is fantastic, and then all the beaches and stuff. Rhode Island's a gem. It really is.
And Rhode Island has one of the best beers of in any state, and that's Harpoon. You got to drink Harpoon when you come to Rhode Island.
Appreciate the plug, Jack. You're the best.
He always brings it around. Never worry about that. He always,
you know where my garage is, man. You know my address.
I do. I know where your car is most of the time, too. It's full.
I'll load you up, buddy. Yeah. Beer and lacrosse. What could be better?
Not much.
All right. Thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piatelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. Thanks again to our producer, Steve Safran. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Also, listen to the podcast on the website, laxjournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @NELaxJournal, Instagram at New England Lacrosse Journal, Lax Journal on Facebook, and our email address, chasingthegoal@laxjournal.com. Join us again next time as we go chasing the goal. Chasing the Goal, a Siemens Media podcast.